our hearts and our means before you tonight. Lord, we acknowledge that you are the God. The Lord, He is the God. And beside Thee, Father, there is none else. And oh God, we've gathered in your name tonight to give honor and to give glory to your name, Father. That's our desire, dear Lord. We want your name to be lifted high. And oh Father, it's the desire of our heart tonight that the world be behind us and the cross be before us. Father, let that be the commitment of our life, dear God. Each one of us as we stepped out of as baptismal waters, dear God, may that be the commitment of our lives until Jesus come to redie the world behind us and the cross before us. Now, Father, we come pleading for bread tonight. Oh, Father, we pray that you'll break the bread to us, dear God. We recognize our total dependence upon you, Father, as a congregation. Lord, if you don't feed us, we won't have any food tonight. So, God, we pray, give us manna sufficient for our needs tonight, dear God. I pray, Father, for anyone who may be here whose soul is not right with the God of heaven. Lord, I pray that you'll draw them. I pray that you'll touch them. Dear God, I pray you'll show them your loving heart. And Father, I pray you'll bring them to a place of repentance at the foot of the cross. Dear God, we commit the service into your hands, Lord. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, we're very grateful for all the visitors that are with us tonight. We are honored. If we could, we'd give you all a front bench. We're grateful that you felt like it was worth your time, which I know time is valuable to everyone. We are grateful that you felt like it was worth your time to come here tonight. I trust that the Lord will bless you for it, for the sacrifice. I'd like us this evening to open our Bibles to Jeremiah in chapter 18. Read a verse there. I want to preach this evening on this subject. Very simple title, Old Time Religion. You know that song? Old Time Religion. Well, I believe in this day, in this hour that we live in, that God wants us to do more than sing the song, give me that old time religion. But He wants us to live an old time religion in a very modern, fast moving, liberal world that we live in. God wants us to live an old time religion tonight. Old time religion. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 15. Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. And then the verses go on and speak about judgment. God says, because my people have forgotten me and turned to vanity, and have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths. God wants us to live in the ancient paths. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13. Here these verses, verse 16 in particular, will say basically the same thing. But we'll read verse 13 on to 16 to get some background. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. In other words, they've taken away the conviction of the soul of the people by saying there's going to be peace when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now here in these verses in Jeremiah, God, by the prophet Jeremiah, is calling Israel back to the old paths. And if you can just think with me for a moment this evening, the old paths that God is calling Israel back to here is probably 200 years old. It's 200 years since the glory rested in Jerusalem. It's 200 years since the kings were godly men. It's 200 years since the peace dwelled in the land. It's 200 years since the people were wholeheartedly living for God and living for His Word and loving with all their heart and mind and soul and strength. It's 200 years since they lived that way. 200 years since the Shekinah glory settled in on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. 200 years since the sacrifices were consistently holy and pure before God. Now I know they had little seasons of reviving during those 200 years, but it's 200 years since David's day and Solomon's day when the power of Israel was known among all the nations of the earth. It's 200 years and God says, why don't you get back to the old paths? Why don't you get back to the good way? What he's saying there in verse 16. Go back to the old path, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. Oh, listen, Jerusalem was seeking peace, and they were hearing the words of the false prophets in that day, saying, peace, peace, but there was really no peace, and they were wanting peace, and they were trying to find it another way, which is a problem that we find in our country today. Oh, there's people everywhere that are trying to find peace, and they're trying to find a theology that will make a peace in their heart, but there's only one kind of peace that God will give, and that's the peace that comes by coming to God in the old-fashioned way. The old way, the old paths. And God making a plea to Israel through Jeremiah was saying to them, you want peace? Get back to the old paths. Get back to the way that the ancients lived. Get back to the good way and walk therein and you'll find rest for your soul. God was crying for old time religion. Turn to Psalm 44, verse 1 through 3. There's another cry for old-time religion in Psalm 44. But in Psalm 44, we have another who's crying for old-time religion. And this verse has blessed me for many years. It's been a verse that I have cried back to God as I sought for revival among God's people. I've cried this verse back to God. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work Thou didst in their days in the times of old, how Thou didst drive out the heathen with Thy hand and plantest them, how Thou didst afflict the people and cast them out, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but Thy right hand and Thine arm and the light of Thy countenance, because Thou hast a favor unto them. So the cry for the old-time religion here is found in verse 1. We heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us. I wonder how many times I cried those words out to God and said, O God, I've heard with my ears, the fathers have told me how You used to work in a mighty way, how You used to bless the people of God, how You used to save the souls, how the aisles used to be full with sinners seeking God for salvation. O God, we heard with our ears, and our fathers have told us how You worked in the days that have gone by. But then the cry that comes forth from that is, but O God, where are those days again? And I believe this, the psalmist here is crying out for old time religion. Old time religion. There's a cry rising up in the heart of many people across this country. Where is the old time religion? People are getting disillusioned with what is supposedly called Christianity today. And slowly, little by little, there's a remnant, a wandering remnant of people. A one over here and one over there. Their hearts are rising up and they're saying, where's the old time religion? Where's that old time religion where the Spirit of God moves? Where's that old time religion where the power of God is in the moving in the midst of God's people? That old time religion where people live holy lives and stand for God and live in the midst of a wicked nation and shine as bright light. Where is that old time religion? Is the cry that comes out of the hearts of people. And we hear those cries many times as we talk to people in Tennessee and Nebraska and Ohio and New Jersey and all kinds of different places around the country. Where is that old time religion? Oh, just to hear the testimony again this morning
of a preacher friend of mine who has a church not far from here in Hershey, and he's preaching old time religion there, and since he got straight and clear and started preaching without fear or favor of men, the old time religion, the church is split in half. Not a split, but one by one they just find themselves over to this liberal church over here, and another one of this liberal church over there, where the preacher will do what they say, where he'll preach the things they like to hear, but the old time religion is still God's religion. It doesn't matter if the whole country turns away from the old time religion. This is still the old time religion, and those people of God who set their hearts to live by this book and live by the old time religion will have the blessing of God upon their lives. It doesn't matter if we're a little lowly band and nobody ever hears about us. God will be pleased with those who live after that old-time religion. May the Lord encourage that preacher's heart and help him to see that there are some others. He's not all by himself. They're not all have bowed the knee to Baal yet. This evening, I'd just like to lift up the old-time religion tonight. And I know that most of us in this room will rejoice at the sermon. But I want to strengthen that which remains. We don't just preach over the needs that everybody has, but we preach over where we're going and where we're at, that we might continue on in the things that God has done for us. Old time religion. If we're going to have old time religion, the first thing we need to have is the old time Bible. The old time Bible. And I'm not talking about any translation tonight. I'm talking about the attitude that the old time saints had about this book is the attitude that we need to have if we're going to live out an old time religion, especially in the days that we live in here in America. If we don't have the attitude toward this book that the old time saints had, we're not going to be able to live out that old time religion. There's just no way. Listen, every time you turn, there's somebody else chipping away at the Word of God. Oh, it doesn't mean that. Oh, don't be so strong. That's a fanatical interpretation of it. That's too extreme. Listen, the old-time saints didn't say things like that about the Bible. No, they didn't. They lived the Bible without question in their lives. And if we're going to live old-time religion, we're going to have to do the same thing. The Bible's the Word of God. The whole Bible is for us. We believe it from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation. We get inspiration out of the book of Genesis, and we get inspiration out of the book of Revelation. We get it from all of it. Nowadays, people have to pray over for 2 months before they obey the Bible. But the old time saints, when they read something new in the Bible that they never saw before, they obeyed it. And then they found out later just what all the depth of all the meaning of what it meant was. That's the way the old time saints looked at this book. But nowadays we have to have it all explained to us, and we have to understand exactly what it all means before we'll obey it. Oh, may God give us the spirit of Abraham, who had the old time faith in the old fashioned Word of God. Abraham didn't have to understand everything that God told him when God said, Abraham, I want you to leave your family and I want you to go to a land that I'm going to call you to. Abraham didn't even say, Lord, where is it? Lord, is it going to be good for me? Lord, is it going to be a blessing? Abraham didn't ask any questions. He just said, yea, Lord. We need to have that kind of an attitude toward this book. Old time faith of Abraham toward the book, the Word of God. If we'll do that, we'll find it very easy to obey the Word of God. And we'll also find it easy to understand the Word of God. If any man will obey him, he shall know of the doctrine. Isn't that right? The best way for you to learn this book is obey what you already know. And God will open it up to you and teach it to you. That's the old time religion. In an old time Bible. The Bible is for the whole world, not just a few. It's for the whole world, not just for the Mennonites. The whole Bible is for the whole world. We believe that here. We believe it with all of our hearts. Listen, if this whole book wasn't for the whole world, then we'd be quitting a long time ago. But this book is for the whole world. The people over in Africa need to live by all the principles of this book. And the people over in Romania need to do the same thing. And the people in China need to do the same thing. And the hippie that's down on New York City Street, he needs to do the same thing. And anybody will commit themselves to this whole book and all the words that are in this book, God will put a blessing upon them. Isn't that right, Brother Mike? God will put a blessing upon him. Old time Bible. The old time saints, they believed the Bible. They believed the whole thing. They didn't scratch out the book of Acts. They didn't scratch out the book of Hebrews. They didn't scratch out the book of Revelation. They didn't scratch out any of the books of the Bible. The old time saints, they believed the whole book. They didn't find a way to get rid of the book of Acts and another way to get rid of the book of Hebrews and another way to get rid of the book of Revelation and another way to get rid of the Gospels and another way to get rid of the Old Testament. They just took the whole thing as being the Word of God and they believed it in simplicity. I'll tell you, it troubles my heart. It troubles my heart when we start chopping whole books out of the Bible. I dare say we better have some Bible verses for that. We better have some clear Bible verses, not just a little interpretation that we got out of the Bible. We better have some clear verses from the Bible that say the book of Acts is just for the transitional period between the Gospels and the Epistles. We better have a clear word from God before we start throwing words like that around. Listen, if we're going to live the old time Gospel, we're going to have to believe the whole book and all the books that are in the book. The book of Acts and the book of Revelation 2. Listen, down through the centuries, men have chopped out all kinds of books out of the Bible. But the true saints, the saints that lived the old time Gospel all the way through, they believed the whole thing. And they weren't a bunch of intellectuals either. They were just simple enough to believe that God said what he meant and they'd do it. And we need to be that way. We need to have that kind of an attitude. I tremble at how easily we can chop a book out of the Bible. When the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for correction and for instruction in righteousness. All the Scripture. Well, I don't know what all means to you, but all to me means all. The whole book and every word in the book. God forbid if we ever chop a section of the Bible out and say, well, that's not for our day. Not for our day? Give me a verse for that. If we're going to live this old-time religion, we need to give ourselves over to the old-time prayers. Old-time prayer. Yeah. I know I say it a lot in prayer. Oh, Father, help us to pray the way they used to pray. Help us to pray the old-time way, the way they used to pray when the power of God came down. But that's the kind of prayers that we need to pray if we're going to have an old-time gospel. Listen, we've lost sight of what prayer is all about in America. People have lost sight of it. I know there's a few here and there's a few there, but there was a day in this country when thousands of saints, yea, tens of thousands of saints, got on their knees every day and at noontime during their lunch hour and got a hold of God in prayer, and they prayed old time prayers and they prayed fervent prayers, and God heard the cries of His people in this country and He moved upon this nation like He hasn't done since then. Those were old time prayers, and we need to get a hold of a vision of old time praying in these days. Effectual, fervent prayers. The old-time prayers were effectual and fervent prayers. The old-time prayers, old-time prayer meetings lasted for hours. Now it's 30 minutes tacked on to the end of a service. But the old-time prayer meetings, they got together to pray, and they prayed until they were done praying. They didn't watch the clock. They prayed till they were done praying. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. They prayed for hours. That's old-time praying, brothers and sisters. That's Bible praying. I believe that's the way Paul the Apostle prayed. I believe it with all my heart. I don't think he spent a few minutes in prayer every day. He carried churches on his heart all over the known world. He was a man of prayer. He prayed in the old time way, and he prayed and prayed and he prayed. And we need to get a vision of that. Old time prayers. Men and women used to get up early and get a hold of God out alone in their closet or out in the barn or out in the workshop or in the garage. They found themselves a place, and you could find them there early in the morning before the day began, pleading before God. And maybe you say, oh, I'm getting so tired of hearing that. But it's Bible! And there ought to be something wrong inside of our heart if we don't have a longing to get up in the morning and get a hold of God and get His blessing upon our day in the morning time. It's Bible. It's Bible to pray that way. Oh, listen, when I think about all the effect that a church could have on this county, if the church would rise like one man to a ministry of prayer and intercession, and we wouldn't let go until we saw God answer prayers, and then the list just keeps getting longer, and the prayers just keep going up. Listen, that's what intercession is all about. Did you know that? We haven't learned what intercession is all about until we've learned to just keep on praying for a week, for another week, for a month, for a year. George Mueller prayed for 50 years for one soul, and that soul was converted after he died. 50 years! How
how could he pray for 50 years? Because he knew what the ministry of intercession was all about. And he knew that God was going to hear his prayer. It didn't matter to him whether he saw the answer to it or not. He knew that God answered prayer. And he knew he was in the place to pray. And therefore he's going to pray. And he's going to keep on praying. If he never sees the answer to it, when we start seeing prayer like that, then we'll begin to learn what intercession is all about. Then we'll begin to learn what it's all about. They prayed. Listen, sometimes they prayed until they got an answer from heaven. I was reading the other day the testimony about James Stewart, who was a preacher in Scotland back about the first part of the 1900s. And he wasn't converted, and his mother went to praying. And I mean, she believed in praying the old time way that we're talking about here. That woman, she'd get up in the middle of the night and he could hear her over beside his bed pleading and sobbing for his soul because he wasn't converted and he had his sights set on sports and he was going to be a famous man in the sports world. But his mother had other ideas for him. She had already consecrated him to God when he was a baby, and he could hear her moaning and weeping beside his bed in the middle of the night. She'd be there for sometimes 2 hours at a night pleading that God would save his soul. And she prayed like that until she got an answer from heaven. And when she got an answer from heaven, she stood on that answer and she wouldn't budge. And one night he came home and said, "Mama, I got saved. I gave my heart to the Lord." And she said, "I knew it." He said, "How did you know?" She said, "I claimed it in prayer about 3 days ago, and the Lord told me you're going to be saved. I already have you scheduled to give your testimony at a meeting tomorrow night." That's prayer. That's old time praying. When people pray until they get an answer from heaven, and they know that God has heard them, and they know that they're going to have the answer, and they just sit back and wait in faith to see the reality of what they already got in prayer. That's old time praying, brothers and sisters, isn't it? Amen. Sure enough, it is. I know it's up here. I know we're just scratching at it, but blessed be God, let's leave it up there and look at it and press toward it. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, right? James Stewart, his testimony was this. He, as soon as he got converted at the age of 14, he was out on the streets preaching. At age 14, here was his testimony, 14-year-old boy. He said, "For every hour that I spend out on the street evangelizing, I spend 2 hours in prayer." 14 years old! Why did he do that? He knew what the old time praying was all about. He probably watched his mother pray like that. He knew that was the way you get the blessings from God. I wonder what kind of results we'd have on Friday night, Brother Luke, if we'd spend about 2 hours alone with God before we got out there on the streets. I wonder what kind of results we'd have. I know. We'd see something happen. Thirdly, we need to have the old time power. The old time power when the presence of God was manifested in every meeting. When it was a normal thing for God's people to sit in a meeting like this and sense the power and the presence of God just hovering over the hearts of the people, that was normal in the old time religion, old time power, when the people could be found seeking God before they even got to the meeting house because of the prayers of God's people. When I think of the old time power, I think of Paul and Silas. Isn't Paul and Silas in the song? "It was good for Paul and Silas, it's good enough for me." Well, let's just take a look at that little story about Paul and Silas and see if we have any idea the reality of Paul and Silas's testimony when we sing, "It's good for Paul and Silas, it's good enough for me." Well, what was good enough for Paul and Silas? They had an old time religion that had such a power in their lives that when they were thrown into the prison after they were beaten, they sat there at midnight singing praises to God. They had an old time power with God that when they were thrown in the prison, their prayers ascended up to heaven and an earthquake shook that place and the prison doors were thrown wide open. That's the old time power that they had. They had an old time power that brought the Philippian jailer down there into the prison on his knees saying, "Oh, what must I do to be saved?" That's the kind of old time power they had. If it's good enough for Paul and Silas, it's good enough for me. But do we have any idea of the reality of the power that Paul and Silas had? That's the old time religion we're talking about tonight. Old time religion. Oh, may the song have a new meaning in our heart after this message. The old time religion. We're going to live the old time religion. We need to have old time holiness. We're living in a day when holiness is just about a lost word in the churches. To mention the word holiness, to try to express it in any way, you're called a fanatic, you're called a half crazy upstairs. If you're going to live out the word of God in any kind of an expression at all, they think you're crazy.
But if we're going to have the old-time religion, we're going to have to live out the old-time holiness. Old-fashioned God-likeness, that's what old-time holiness is all about. Old-fashioned separation from the world. Old-fashioned sanctification, where people are changed by the power of God and live a different kind of life in the midst of a world. That's old-fashioned holiness. That holiness has the same effect that it had on the world 100 years ago. It has the same effect today. But nobody's living that kind of old-fashioned holiness anymore. They're not living that way. Oh, listen, there needs to be churches rise up around this country that stand for that old-fashioned kind of holiness, who live holy lives out before the world that's around them, that the world may look on and say, there's something different about those people. There's something different about them over there. Why do they do what they do? Why do they live that way? Why are they always singing over there at their house in the morning? Why do they open their Bibles? Why does he have a Bible in his hand when he goes out in the morning to go to work? Why does he read his Bible on the job during his break? What's the matter with those people? I'll tell you what's the matter with those people. They got the old-time gospel in their heart, and they got old-time holiness in their lives. That's what's the matter with those people. And if we can say it this way, may God give us the grace to live like they lived 100 years ago. And I'm not talking about horse and buggies. I'm talking about the power of a holy life. 100 years ago, modesty meant a loose-fitting garment, but today it means anything that fits tight and is down to the knees, and that's as far as it goes. And a little cut here. Listen, 100 years ago, modesty meant a loose-fitting garment, and modesty still means a loose-fitting garment today. Yes, it does. The old-time holiness hasn't changed one bit, just that everybody's changed their interpretation of the book. 100 years ago, a meek and quiet spirit was highly prized among women, and it still is today, according to the book. Although you'll be considered the craziest woman around if you put on a meek and quiet spirit and submit yourself to your husband and take your place as a support unit in the home, the world will look on you and think you're absolutely crazy. Why don't you get career-minded? Why don't you go do something for yourself? Oh, they have no idea. They don't understand. There's such a need for us to live that way. To live the way the old-time saints used to live. 100 years ago, it was wrong to act and talk and dress like the world, and it's still wrong today. 100 years ago, it was holy to live a quiet and a simple life in humility and hard work, and it still is today. But it's hard to find. 100 years ago, entertainment was reading the Bible, going to church, and having prayer meeting. And it still is today for the old-time saints. For the old-time saints. You see, we're talking about an old-time religion where the power of God changes the man or the woman from the inside to the outside. Listen, there's nothing sweeter than a sweet hour of prayer. You can have a volleyball game all you want. I'll take a sweet hour of prayer any day. You can have your televisions all you want. I'll take a sweet hour of prayer any day. That's the old-time holiness. Oh, may God raise up a group of young people that find pleasure in those things instead of finding their pleasure in all kinds of other things that surround them today. That's the old-time religion we're talking about. When we're talking about old-time religion, we're talking about old-time preaching. Old-time preaching. Old-time preaching is men who preached the Bible and then applied it after they preached it. I like the words of A.W. Tozer, if you preach the Bible and don't apply the Bible, then you didn't preach yet. I like that. Old-time preachers, they took the Bible and they read the Bible and they preached what the Bible said, and then they turned around and said, now here's how it applies to your life today where you live. Oh, don't do that, the liberals will say. Don't do that. You'll lose all your church members if you do that. You just preach the Word and let the Holy Spirit convict the hearts. That's not the way the old-time preachers used to do it. They didn't just preach the Word and let the Spirit of God convict the heart. They took the Word of God and they applied the Word of God to the day and age that they lived in. And by the way, they got results too. The old-time preachers, they called sin, sin. They didn't call it a mistake. They didn't call it a failure. They called sin, sin. And they thundered out against it. And if we're going to have old-time religion, we need to get back to the old-time preaching. And listen, if we're going to get back to the old-time preaching, then you better bless your preacher if he's an old-time preacher. And every time he gets up there and stomps and preaches the Word of God, you come up in and say, praise God for that message. And encourage those men of God to stand up and preach the Word of God without fear or favor of you. Right?
We say a fear or favor of men. Well, we put him out there. But you need to encourage him to preach without fear or favor of you. Go up and tell him, brother, God bless you for preaching that message.
Only way to God. Now there's all kinds of ways to God, but there's only one old time way to God, and that's repentance. Old time preachers wouldn't bow to the congregation's whim. Didn't like the way you said that. You said that too loud. No, they didn't do that. The old time preachers, they stood behind the desk as if it was a holy desk, and they considered the calling that they had when they were behind this desk to be from God, and they preached the word of God without fear and without any favor. Those were the old time preachers. Old time preaching was back when preaching was proclaiming from the housetops, if I may say that. Proclaiming from the housetops. You know, sometimes I think these things hint. They allow us to preach our sermons like this instead of like this. I think these things hinder us. You take all the amplifiers away and see what happens to the man behind the pulpit. If he's going to reach the ones that are in the back, he's going to have to lift up his voice again like they did in the old days before they had all the amplifiers. Listen, the preachers had to lift their voice or the people wouldn't hear them. Nowadays, you're almost called some kind of a nut if you lift your voice and preach the word of God.
That woke everybody up, didn't it?
Amen.
Jesus said, the things that I speak to you in secret, I want you to shout them from the housetop. Whatever happened to that kind of preaching? Housetop preaching. And the picture there is that of the messenger that goes from city to city and gives the news to the people. When the messenger came running into the next city, he found a housetop and he got up on the housetop and all the people gathered around him and he stood up there on the housetop and put his hand to the side of his mouth like this and gave out the news. And Jesus said, the words that I speak to you in secret, I want you to get up on the housetop and give out the news. That's old time preaching.
Anyway, maybe this is just a side topic, but along with old-time preaching, we need to get back to the old-time evangelism. Old-time evangelism. Now today, they have all kinds of names for it. They call it sharing. They call it giving testimonies. They call it being a friend to someone. They call it all kinds of things, but old-time evangelism wasn't sharing, and it wasn't giving testimony. It was preaching. God chose to save those by the foolishness of preaching. That's what the Bible says. The old time evangelism was preaching the Word of God. It blessed my heart reading this little book. We're reading it to the family at home about James Stewart when he was 14 years old. Oh, listen, he was a fool for Jesus. It didn't matter to him. He wanted to preach the Bible. A lot of people criticized him. They said, why don't you go home and wait till you grow up? And he went home and tried to wait till he grew up, but the word was like fire burning within his heart, and he couldn't keep quiet any longer at 14 years old. So he just said, forget it, I'm going to go and preach anyway. But it blessed my heart. He couldn't figure out. He got started getting a harsh voice, hoarse voice. Because he was preaching on the street corner too much, so he decided he can't get the word of God out enough, so he got one of these sandwich boards, you know, and put it over his head, had a scripture verse on the front and another one on the back, and he got himself a leather bag with a pole on it, and he had pictures, and he had a little blind on there, and he'd pull different pictures down, and then he'd call a text and pull a picture, you know, like a serpent on a pole, and then he'd stand there with this picture, holding this picture out on the street corners, and just preach his heart out to the people. Just out there at 5 o'clock when everybody's going home from work in the city of Glasgow, Scotland, he'd get out there, hold his little signs up there with his sandwich board on there, and just preach those people and tell them about Jesus and tell them they're going to hell and tell them there's a way they can be converted and tell them there's a way through repentance, and he just preach his heart out for a couple of hours. He'd do that every evening. That's old time evangelism. That old time evangelism. Listen, we've about lost sight of that. We just about lost sight of that completely. Now we just share our testimony. Now we just give a little witness. Listen, Paul the Apostle didn't give a little witness. He was a winner of souls. He was a pleader of souls. He went about pleading with men because he knew the terror of the Lord, and he pleaded with their souls. Listen, if we get serious about this matter of old-time evangelism and start pleading with men and women for their souls, oh my, we'd have some results. That's old-time evangelism. We have kind of slipped that little, haven't we? From that old-time religion. Thank you, Brother Ross. If we're going to have old-time religion,
We have old-time discipline. Old-time discipline. Oh, nobody likes to hear about discipline in this resort country where we live. But if we're going to have old-time religion, we're going to have old-time discipline like the old saints used to have. They lived disciplined lives. Whatever happened to the joy of self-denial? Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to the joy of fasting? Whatever happened to the joy of studying the Bible? Whatever happened to the joy of spending lonely hours by yourself with God when everybody else is out having a good time? Whatever happened to disciplines like that? The discipline of taking time to memorize Scripture and meditate upon it. The discipline and the joy of prayer alone with God. The discipline and the joy of a night awake with God when everybody else is sleeping and enjoying a nice warm bed. Whatever happened to those kind of disciplines? The joy of hard work. Listen, we live in a pleasure crazy society, and it's just not popular at all to do that. You tell somebody you spent a whole night in prayer, they'll think you're crazy. But the old time saints used to do that. They took upon themselves rigor of discipline. When I think about old time saints and discipline, I think of John Wesley, who preached four times a day until he was 80 years old. And those four times a day, he didn't drive in a car to the next city. After he got done preaching the sermon, he jumped up on a horse, and between the next town, from that town to the next town, he had himself a little platform on his horse. He was preparing his next sermon. Once he got the sermon prepared, then he started to pray, and he prayed while he was going to the next town. And when he got to the town, he got up and preached another sermon, and he preached the way I'm preaching tonight, and he preached that way four times a day until he was 80 years old. He knew what old time discipline was all about. He made his way down through those cities, through the winter weather, through the storms, through the rain, through the cold. He made his way there. He slept out in the night many times because he couldn't find his way because it was too dark. He knew what old-time discipline was all about. He found himself a prayer room out underneath the stars. He found himself a prayer room in a log somewhere. That's old-time discipline. Nowadays, in this resort America where we live, we're far away from the old-time disciplines that the old-time religion had. Listen, we need to re-examine our lifestyle in light of the Bible. In light of the Bible, whatever happened? Whatever happened to saints that fasted and prayed before God? You know, the old saints, you know, the early church, they fasted twice a week. And I don't think you ought to make a religion out of that. But I think there's something wrong if you don't do much fasting when they fasted twice a week. And they were on fire for God, the early church. It wasn't just a religion to them. They were on fire for God. They were fasting because their bridegroom was gone. That's right. They were fasting because the bridegroom is gone, and they were longing for him, and they wanted his power, and they wanted his blessing in their life, and they fasted every Wednesday and every Friday. I mean, the whole day. I mean, no juice. Many of them fasted without any water. No food and no water for the whole day. You know, gluttony is still in the Bible. Today, we'd rather socialize than get alone with God and be alone and get God's power in our lives. Oh, we love to socialize. It's great. And I'm not against socializing. The blessings of fellowship with God's people is one of the sweet blessings of the Christian life. But listen, if we go running after that all the time and we deny this discipline of being alone with God and having time with Him and quieting ourselves before Him, we're going to miss something. We're going to miss something important. Old-time discipline. Nowadays, we read books instead of the Bible. Because the books do the thinking for us. They carry our meditations right along real well. And we get real inspiration from reading the books. But the old-time saints, they didn't hardly have any books. They read the Bible. And they learn to glean from God's Word their own meditation and their own application and their own inspiration. But today, we just go to the bookshelf, go to the Christian bookstore and get another book. I was reading this book the other day. Oh, I was reading on this book the other day. And I'm not against reading books. I read books every now and then. But I don't read a lot of books because this one comes first. This book comes first. And if you have time for another book after this book, okay. But the old-time saints, they read this book. And studied this book and meditated on this book. And that's a discipline, isn't it? To lay aside the book that inspires you and leads you along on your own and pick up the book where you need to get a hold of God and clear your heart before Him and meditate upon it and grasp it for yourself
that this becomes a discipline. A discipline. But we need this discipline. In these days that we live in, we need to know this book. We need to know it inside and out. Old time discipline. Have you ever heard of the old time mourner's bench? How many heard about the old time mourner's bench? A few? We got a couple mourner's benches up here tonight. Old time mourner's benches were used in the old time religion. I mean, they had them in every church. When they built a church, they built the mourner's benches right into the church house. All the old time churches had mourner's benches up there. You could find the souls of men and women up there at the mourner's bench at the end of the service, weeping over their sins and getting right with God and getting things cleared up again. That's the old time mourner's bench when people mourned over their sins, when they overcame their sins through repentance, where invitations lasted for 15 minutes because of the mourners that were up here at the mourner's bench seeking God and crying out to God, and the invitations were extended another 5 minutes and another 5 minutes while the mourners were mourning over the needs in their lives. Nowadays, the churches don't want to mourn. They just want to put the plaque on the wall. Blessed are they that mourn. But they don't want to mourn. People sit in dryness and lukewarmness for years and won't humble themselves. Today, and it's a sad thing, but today, and in many of the Mennonite churches today, when it's invitation time for salvation, all they ask you to do is raise your hand and put it down again. That's not the way they did it in the old time churches. No way, they didn't do it that way. When it was time to get right with God, you stood up right in the midst of the people of God, and you walked down the aisle, and you got down here on your knees, and you humbled yourself, and you were ashamed because you had sinned. That's the way it was in the old time religion. Men were ashamed of their sin, and they came up here and humbled themselves, and mourned over their sins, and repented of their sins. But now today, all you gotta do to get saved is just raise your hand and put it down again. That's invitation time. Come on. Nobody gets converted that way. Very, very few get converted like that. Just put your hand up and put it down again. No way. Or just stand up and sit down again. I think that some might be converted that way, but that's not the way the old time saints did it. That's not the way they did it. They used the mourner's bench. Humble yourself before God and before His people, and the Lord will lift you up and meet your needs. And last of all, if we're going to have the old-time religion, we better have the old-time gospel. Yes, the old-time gospel. The gospel's getting pretty watered down in these days. It's getting pretty watered down. Now all you got to do is ask Jesus into your heart, and you got yourself a one-way ticket to heaven. Don't you believe it for a minute, friend. Don't you believe it for a minute. That's not how the old-time ones got saved. Nobody got saved that way in the old-time religion. Just ask Jesus to come into your heart. Just accept Jesus as your Savior. No way! That's not the old-time gospel. The old-time gospel is a straight and narrow way. The old-time gospel is a hard way. The old-time gospel is a self-denying way. The old-time gospel had a commitment wrapped up in the center of it. Listen, if you want to learn what the gospel is all about, before you go reading the epistles, don't forget to read the gospel. Don't forget to read the Gospels if you start interpreting what is the Gospel and what isn't. Jesus went forth in the power of the Spirit preaching the Gospel everywhere He went. Listen to the Gospel that He preached. Except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. Except you're willing to deny yourself and deny your family and deny your friends and take up the cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. That was Jesus' Gospel. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leadeth unto destruction, and many that go in thereat. That was Jesus' gospel. Oh, listen, today they've turned it all the way around, and the way to heaven is a wide way, and it's a broad way, and the way to hell is a narrow way. They've turned the thing around completely, but it's not that way, not in the Bible. No, the way to heaven is still a straight and narrow way. And when people make a decision for Jesus, they need to make a decision in light of that straight and narrow way, in light of that life of self-denial that's out up ahead of them. Enough! Enough of this taking Jesus as my Savior and living for myself for 10 years, 10 more years, and then deciding after 10 years, well, I think I'll make Him my Lord. Enough of that kind of gospel! That's not the gospel that Jesus preached. No way. The old-fashioned gospel. Listen, today, the Gallup poll brags that there's 80 million Christians in America. No way! If we had 80 million old-time gospel Christians in America, this country would be shaking for God, and this country would have reached all the other countries of the world by now. There's no 80 million Christians in this country. That's a lie. That's a lie. It's a lie. And the liberals out there shoot that thing everywhere and encourage themselves that this is a Christian nation. This is no Christian nation. Ask David Kenya Dewey, who came from Kenya and saw this country. Ask him whether it's a Christian nation or not. He felt like they need to start sending missionaries over here. The old time gospel. If you ask Jesus into your heart, if that's what you did, you asked Jesus into your heart, you didn't repent of your sins, you weren't sorry for the things you did, you didn't yield yourself to God, you didn't repent of your sins, you didn't see that you were on your way to hell, you didn't cry out to God for mercy. If you just asked Jesus to come into your heart, I'm sorry, but I really question whether you have the old-time salvation that the old-time gospel produces. Listen, can we not see it when we look around us? Everybody names the name of Jesus. All kinds of people have prayed those simple little prayers. Oh, listen, the church back in Hammond boasts of 200,000 converts in 20 years. Where are they? Where are those 200,000 converts? What are we talking about? We need to open our eyes and see what reality is all about and get back to the old-time gospel. Old-time gospel, where you talk to people about their sins and you tell them you want to get saved? Yes! Repent! Oh, no, I'm not going to repent. That's what you'll hear out of many of them. You want to get saved? Sure, I'd like to get saved. Repent of your sins! I'm not going to repent. Then you're not going to get saved. That's what we need to do. That's the old-time gospel. That's the way they used to preach the gospel. So what are we talking about this evening? We're talking about the old-time religion. Oh, maybe the song will have a new meaning to us after tonight. We sing that song, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Well, what is the old-time religion? It's a religion of power. It's a religion of holiness. It's a religion of evangelism. It's a religion of a self-denying life and a life of discipline. It's a religion of preaching a pure gospel. That's the old-time religion. Now, I wonder tonight, where you're at? I wonder where you're at tonight. Are you living in the good of the old-time religion that we've been preaching now for 50 minutes? Are you living in the good of that old-time religion? You know, if you're not, there's something you can do. There's something you can do tonight, but you need to come in the old-time way. In the old-time way. You come in the old-time way and the Lord will meet your need tonight. We got the mourner's benches up here tonight. I thought, well, if we're going to preach about mourner's benches, we better put one up here. We got the mourner's benches up here tonight. If you have a need in your heart tonight, if your heart's not right with God, if you're not experiencing the reality of the old-time religion, you see, my friend, old-time religion is not old-time religion. It's the same kind of religion that all the true saints have always had from the days of Jesus until now. It's just normal Christianity. That's what old-time religion is all about. But you gotta call it old-time religion because of what has happened to religion in this country, and yea, in the world. But if you're not living in the reality of this sweet old-time religion that we're talking about, the mourner's bench is up here for you. We're gonna have an invitation in a few minutes. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you don't have the power of God in your life, you're living in sin and you can't overcome them, you're not a Christian, you need to be saved, you can be saved tonight. We'd like to take the Word of God and take you and show you from the Word of God how you can be saved tonight, how you can enjoy the blessings of God, how you can find peace with God through repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We'd like to help you with that tonight. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Each one of us bow our heads and close our eyes. I'd like for a couple of brothers to lead out in prayer. Just stand to your feet and lead out in prayer. As the Spirit prompts you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.